On the second time through this song, it's I Will Call Upon the Lord. If you know it, we're going to ask you to there's a call and response for the first part. We're going to ask you to do the response. Just follow me, and then we'll do the chorus a couple of times.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised.
Would you please join me in the call to worship that's in your bulletins? God, our rock, who has stood with us through the realities of this week, stand with us now, that we may let go of the fear that hinders us from exploring the many images of you in Scripture. In the name of Jesus, Restorer, Healer, All-Encompassing Holy One. Amen. Now let's lift our voices together in song number 41 in your blue hymnals. 4:1, Come Thou Almighty King. If you're able to, let's stand for this song.
Thank you.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, when Harold did the first of our creation series, we also started memorizing a theme psalm, Psalm 121. You will have them in your mailboxes as well to take home and put up on your fridge or on your bulletin board or wherever so you can try to memorize. We are going to work on verses 1 and 2 again, and so we're going to read through the whole psalm together. Then we will read through verses 1 and 2. Then we will try to say verses 1 and 2 from memory, and then we'll read the whole psalm again. So similar to what Harold did last time. So here we go, and I don't have them with me, so I'm going to turn around and read with you.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
So let's read verses 1 and 2.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Now let's try it from memory.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Let's read the psalm together again.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Amen. Welcome here this morning. We want to give a chance if anyone has guests to introduce this morning. If not, you are all most heartily welcome here this morning on this beautiful summer's day. I will draw to your attention a few announcements. One that is not in your bulletin, but that was given to me from Kathy Thiessen. The Friendship Bible Coffee Study Group. We'll be meeting at church at 9:30 on Thursday, July 4th, to go for a wind-up brunch at Rossmere Country Club. So that's 9:30 on Thursday for the Friendship Bible Coffee Study Group. That's quite the name. Also in your bulletins, a couple of things. Number 10, and this is also in your white insert, the Mennonite Choir from Ascension will be singing at NKMB. In two weeks from now, so that should be a good evening. And number 8, there's a change. The seniors' bus tour that's going to the La Riviere Passion Play is leaving from Springfield Heights, not from Douglas, as was in last week's bulletin, I believe. And then also, please note numbers 1 and 2. Harold will be on holidays. He is on holidays right now until July 11th. So please contact the care team if there are any pastoral care concerns. Leanna will also be taking some vacation in July and also a week in August, and I will be covering the office, and there will be office hours. They're a little different. I think what's in there is right. But we will post those in the bulletin the week before, just so you know when the phones will be answered and when they won't. And then also number one, Harold is accepting the call to become the pastor at Elim Mennonite Church in Grenthal. He's beginning there September 1st. And so his last Sunday here will be on August 18th, and we're going to have a potluck lunch that Sunday after the service. So let's make sure that we can, if you can take that Sunday off from going to the cabin, or if you're around, let's celebrate our time that we've had with Harold. And Chris had one more announcement at this time.
This is actually a message from Gary Martins. Friends at NKMC, Carol and I would like to thank you for your warmth, honesty, and welcoming response to us last Sunday. As I mentioned in the sermon, we are looking for a church community to call home. We heard you saying you want to faithfully follow the way of Jesus and walk together as the community that God has called you to be, which is our longing as well. Our time with you last Sunday, as well as the discussions I've had with your search committee and conference pastor, have led me to believe that NKMC would be a place Carol and I could worship, grow, struggle, and celebrate the life of God's people. I was overwhelmed by your strong invitation to come and walk with you as your pastor, and after much thought, prayer, and discussion, I would like to accept. After looking over my present commitments, I realized that I would only be able to begin in November, so if that is acceptable to you, we look forward to beginning our journey with you at that time. We are excited to get to know you and believe that God has brought us together to enrich each other's lives. We will keep you in our prayers as we look forward to becoming part of your community. Gary Martins.
Good news. Before we do our sharing time, I'll ask the quartet to come join me. We're going to sing The Love of God. And we're going to ask you to join us on the last chorus. If you need it, it's in the Brown Hymnal, number 538. If you need the, it'll just be the chorus after the last verse.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen. And reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair, bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
When ancient times shall pass away, and human thrones and kingdoms fall, when all on earth refuse to pray,
the ocean dry, nor could scroll contain the whole, who stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
And now we'll move into a time of sharing. If anyone has joys or concerns to share with our family here today, Ingo has the mic. If you just raise your hand and he can bring it to you. If there's nothing this morning, I just want to draw to your attention the names that are listed in our church family. So in Concordia Hospital, we have John Vogt. And in our personal care homes, there is Margarita Berg, Agnes Dirksen, Anna Hildebrandt, Margarita Clausen, Maria Wienz, Valentine Harder, Frank Entz, Katie Kaitler, Mary Dahl, Frank Martins, and Rob Bell. So let's please keep them and their families in our prayers this next week. And now let us come before God together in prayer. There will be some times of silence during this where you can bring your own prayers to God. Holy and healing God, we come before you this morning with thankfulness for all you have done for us this week, for walking with us when we were scared, for phone calls from friends when we felt lonely, for good food and the promise of spring. Thank you for the church, for this building where we can gather to worship, for these people with whom we can worship. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the love that carries us from day to day. We take a moment to pray for those sitting around us, in front, behind, beside us. We bring before you our prayers for ourselves and for those we love. We bring before you our prayers for our neighbors and the communities where we live. We bring before you our prayers for our country and for our world. We come before you as a church, as a people, as a community, and gather all our prayers together to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we take the offering, the quartet will again sing. So our scripture reading from this morning is a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 32. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. The Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. And one more verse from Matthew 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I'm going to ask the children to come forward, or out, for children's story. They probably can't hear me. There we go. This morning, I was going to test you and see how many images of God you heard in the songs that we sang this morning, but you weren't here singing, so I can't even test you. I should probably test the grown-ups and see how many images of God they remember from some of the songs we sang. There was ones about kings and shepherds, God is a rock, and in the Bible, throughout the Bible, there are images of God that come from nature. So here's a few. God is like a rock. God is like a tower. That's not really from nature. That's from cities, I guess. God is like an eagle. God is like a mother hen. God is like the wind. God is like a lion. So let's talk about God is like a rock. What's a rock like? Go ahead. It's tough. What else is a rock? Yeah.
Hard.
It's hard.
Hard.
Hard. What else?
Break it.
You can't break it. What else?
It can hurt your toes.
It can hurt your toes, I guess. So how is God like a rock? Does he hurt our toes? No. But do rocks change very easily? No. And are rocks good places to build things on? So they're not going to get washed away. You know that song about the sand and the rock, right? So God is a good foundation, and he doesn't change. He's always going to be there for us. So that's one image that we've talked about this morning. There's many others. So I'm going to give you, is it here? I'm going to give you a little sheet if you want to work on something. So on this side, you can draw your own picture, something from nature that you think God is like. Use your imagination and your senses and think about what in nature or what around you God is like. And then on this side, it talks a little bit about metaphors, and it has a crossword for those of you who are into that. Okay, so there's those and pens. And you can go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning. Today, I will be preaching on what God is like. Throughout this sharing, we'll be going through the Bible and looking up different images that the Bible gives us for God and going through them and taking time to think on each of them. In the Bible, there are many metaphors for God. There are many images that are used to show us one aspect or another of what God is like. And sometimes they can seem contradictory. How can God be both a mighty king who rules over us and judges us, and a mother hen who wants to just gather us in like chicks beneath her wings? The answer is that because God is so high above us, so great and so unfathomable, we have to have many ways of looking at him to make a more complete picture of who God is. Today, I would like to take some time to go through some of the common biblical passages with images that we have for God and discuss what they mean to me and how they can help us to see God in our everyday lives. The first images I want to look at are the images of king and judge. In Isaiah 33, verse 22, when talking about God, it says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our ruler, the Lord is our king, he will save us." When we think of what this means for God to be king and judge, it might be harder for us to understand in modern times what this means. What it meant for the Jewish people at the time was very different. They had a very different view of kings back then. Back then, a king was an image that, for them, meant safety. It meant being united as one nation. It meant that there was a higher power to go to in times of trouble. And for us, often, when we think of kings, we think of the bad kings there have been through the years. We think of dictatorships and oppression. But for them, a king meant safety. It meant being able to defend yourself, being able to defend your beliefs. And likewise, with a judge, when you get into disputes, you can go to a judge, go to a higher power, and they will make sure that a resolution, a just resolution, can come out of that strife. There are many images of God as our protector, as someone who will keep us safe in times of trouble. Another popular example of this is God as a shepherd watching over his flock. Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What a beautiful image. It's an image of a loving and protecting God, a God that makes us make the decisions that are right for us, even if we don't necessarily want to. He leads us to quiet waters and makes us lie down in green pastures. It's a very different image of God being a protector, yet at the same time, still the same as being king. He wants to protect us and lead us. In Psalm 144, it shows another way that God protects us. It says, "He is my loving God and my fortress, a stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge." Again, it's another image of how God protects us, but this time it's that he defends us and gives us a safe place where we can lie down and a place where we don't have to worry. And then we move on to another image. We move on to God as a rock. This is an interesting one because it has multiple meanings. In much of the Old Testament, when God is called a rock, it is used much like the other metaphors that we have looked at, a place of refuge and safety. For example, in 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 3, "My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." But then, later in the Bible, we start to talk about Jesus as a rock. And we see images of Jesus as a cornerstone, as a foundation which we can build off of. Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am laying in Zion a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. One who trusts will not panic." And then again, in Psalm 118, verse 22, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And then again in chapter 12, verses 10 to 11, "Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes." And then we also see images of God as a father. This can mean a few different things. It can mean that God provides for us what we need. In Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11, Jesus says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Secondly, it can mean that God is someone who you can trust, and someone who will always have room for you in their home, someone who you can confide in and seek advice from, someone who will welcome you into the family and provide a place of safety. John 14, verses 1 to 2 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." The image of the Father can also have many other connotations, many in the same way of God as king or God as judge, for example. However, God is not just compared to a father. He's also compared to a mother hen. In Luke chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. Often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Again, it is an image of protection, but this time not so much one of great might and great strong defense, but one of gathering in close and holding in love. And then God is also called our friend. In John 15, verses 12 to 15, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." We are called to work together with Jesus as friends. Friends work together, unlike servants who only work for the master. We are called to work together with Jesus to be friends as he is friends with us. God is also made known as a potter, and we the clay. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand." Jesus takes us, takes what we are at a base level, and he molds us into what he wants us to be, and what he needs us to be, into the beautiful works of his hand. He takes our lives and shapes them to be good in his sight. Another way we see the nature of Jesus is as a grapevine. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It is God who sustains us, God who gives us the ability to bear good fruit. There are so many ways that we can view God through metaphors in the Bible that I can't even begin to name them all, but here's a few more. God is the breath of life, the light of the world. He's a farmer who sows good seed. He is the bridegroom of the church. He is the gate to new life. He is living water. He is the bread of life. He is a fire burning inside us. And he is a majestic, soaring eagle. God is our refuge. He's our protector, our provider, our foundation. He gathers us in, protects us and shapes us, and sustains us so that we may bear good fruit. There are just so many ways in which we can look at God. We see him in his creation, from the lowly hen to the majestic eagle. We can see him in all created things, since all creation comes from God. Now that it is summertime, we tend to go out into creation more. Whether you're camping, going to the beach, going for a walk, or just sitting on your front porch and enjoying the nice weather, when you're out in nature this summer, I challenge you and invite you to look at things in nature, look at them more deeply, and see how this can help you better understand God. And also, when looking at people, with talking with people, be it specific people that you know, or people that you meet over the summer, or if it's groups of people, like fathers and shepherds, look at them and see how they can be a window to God. I'd like to say a brief prayer. God, thank you for the ways that you make yourself known to us. The Bible, your word, through the acts of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit acting in us and others, and in creation as a window into what you find good and right. Help us, O Lord, to see you in everyday things, and in those special, rare moments where we feel you the most. Help us to keep you close to our hearts. Amen.
I would invite us to respond with hymn number 165 in your blue hymnal. A mighty fortress is our God. One more image of God. And if you're able to, let's stand again. The blessing of God, the God of Sarah and of Abraham, the blessing of the Son born of Mary, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who broods over us as a mother over her children, be with us all. Amen. We have one more song to send you out this morning.
Go in peace.